Okay, undoubtedly at this point you have lots of questions about HTML5, what we did, why do we do it. Like I said, that's great. Beginning in lesson number 4, we're going to examine virtually every single tag and concept that we added to the document in the previous lesson. Also, I'm sure that you were left completely unimpressed by the visual stylings, the design, the aesthetic quality of the page that we created. So that's really the focus of this lesson, to demonstrate the thought process and the workflow of laying out and applying styles to our HTML5 web pages. There will be plenty that you will not understand, but please follow along, do what I do. Some of it will make sense, some of it will form questions in your mind that will be then answered when we get to that point in the series of lessons beginning in lesson number 12. Okay, so before we get started, there's some unfinished business that we need to tend to. It came to my attention that we have some mistakes, not only the ones that I intended to put in there, but then also ones that were added unintentionally. So make sure that you download the lesson 03 code from wherever you're currently watching this video or wherever you originally downloaded it from. Inside of that folder, we're gonna have a before folder that will be an exact copy of where we ended in lesson 2. I just renamed the file, okay? And so I'm gonna copy all these assets, and then I'm gonna go back to the work folder and paste them all in, and this is where we're gonna do the majority of our work for this lesson. Okay, so next up, what we need to do is open up our lesson03.html page. And what I want to do is run our web page through a validator. And a validator will check the code that we've written to make sure that it conforms to the standards that we said, or the contract that we said that we're adhering to whenever we declare the doc type at the top of this HTML document. We'll talk about this in the next lesson. So what I want to do is open up my web browser and go to a popular validator. It's called validator.nu, and I'm going to choose the text field for the validator input. I'm going to go back to my document, hit Control A, Control C to copy the entire document out of my clipboard. Go back to Internet Explorer, Control A to select all the example HTML that they create for us, and then Control V to paste in our page. And I'm going to click the validate button, and as soon as I do, we're going to get a couple of errors. And so the first one, it gives us a line number and a column, and it kind of gives us a general idea of where and what the problem is. Now, unfortunately, because I have word wrap on, it's not going to be exactly in the line that it said it was in. However, I happen to know that the problem here is that I opened an H1 tag, but I didn't close the H1 tag. I just created another opening H1 tag. So if I add a forward slash and click save, that should fix that problem. We'll check into that one more time in just a moment once we make all of our changes. Now I'm going to scroll down to where the two articles kind of butt up against each other, when one article ends and the other one begins. And I intended to put an HR, which stands for a horizontal rule, but it has a semantic meaning of separating two ideas or two unrelated items. And so we'll come back to the semantic meaning of HR much later in the series, but I wanted to include it here so that you can be exposed to it. And then I want to go to the very bottom of this document. If we were to look at the other error, this number 5, a stray end tag, AIS. Now this is the one that we planted intentionally. I have an opening aside and a closing tag that I mistyped intentionally. So I'm going to rename that aside, so closing aside, save all these changes that I made, Control A to select everything and Control C to copy it. I'm going to go back and revalidate this document by clicking Control A to select everything in the text field and then Control V to paste in our updated version and click the validate button one more time. And this time we get the document validates message, success. Okay, so we can continue on now. That's awesome. I'm going to close this down, and we do need to make an addition now to our lesson03.html file. We're going to attach an external cascading style sheet file to this document so that when our web browser loads this up, it's going to see the link that we created and it's going to go out and then request that resource from the web server, or in this case, just our local desktop machine. So to create one of those, I'm going to go underneath the title, but before the end of the head section, I'm going to create link. Rel, or relationship, is style sheet. That's the relationship of this link to this HTML document. Type equals text slash CSS, no spaces. href equals, and then the name of the file that we want to include. So styles.css. And then finally, media equals screen. And we'll talk about media elements later. I'm going to save that. And now I'm going to open up a second version of Notepad. And I'm going to create the styles.css file. So just so we have something in there to begin with, I'm going to style the entire body, setting the font for the entire document. So I'm going to select the body. So I'm creating a CSS selector and say, basically, I want to change the font family to Arial. However, in case they don't have the Arial font on their computer, I'm going to say a worthy substitute would be Helvetica. And if they don't have either of those fonts, then any sans serif classification of font will do just fine. So now I'm going to file, save as. I'm going to make sure to navigate to the appropriate folder, the Lesson 03 work folder. I'm going to change the save as type to all files, change the encoding to UTF-8, and I'm going to call this styles.css, and then click save. Now, if we did everything correctly, I should be able to open this file, and we will see a Arial, or rather sans serif font. And we do, and simply by sans serif, we don't see any of the decorative elements that we would normally see in the default font, which would be like a Times New Roman that has little flares off on the ends of the S's, and the E's look different, and the A's look different. Okay, so we're working with an Arial font, and that much is obvious if you're familiar with fonts and typography. Great. Okay, so what we've been able to accomplish here so far is to create our first style. We have created a style by setting one attribute to a new value. Okay? And so now it's time for us to think about how we want to lay out our web page. In my mind, I've already given this a lot of thought. I want three distinct sections. There will be a head, there will be kind of the main area where all the text will reside, and then at the very bottom, a small footer. Now, the head and the footer I want to be black with white text. In the main section, I want there to be white text with a black font. Kind of the chrome around the entire document, I want to be a dark gray color. I also want there to be a thick border all the way around the document, a black border. And as far as the header is concerned and the footer, I want this Channel 9 and HTML5 and CSS fundamentals to be on the left-hand side, and then I want to represent this navigation area over on the right hand side, and I want it to be horizontal, not vertical the way that we see here, and I want to get rid of the little bullet points. Furthermore, I think at the very end of the document we have this aside, and I want to format that specially. I'm going to put it in a smaller font, I'm going to give it a bright green background, and I'm going to give it a green border with rounded corners so that we can exercise that new feature in Internet Explorer 9's CSS 3 capabilities. And the same would be true then with the footer area. I want this copyright notice on the left, and then again our navigation to be on the right hand side. So to accomplish all that, I'm going to go back to the body and I'm going to add that dark gray color, which will provide the chrome around the background of the web page. So here we go. I'm going to set the background color colon pound symbol 333 333, and so I happen to know that this is a hexadecimal value that represents a dark gray color. So I'm going to save that, and now if I refresh my web page, you can see that it indeed turns the entire body of the document gray. And you might be thinking, well, that was counterproductive, because don't we need some black area backgrounds and some white background areas as well? So let's go ahead and then style up the three parts that we know comprise those sections. We have a header. We have the main section that contains the two articles, and then we also have a footer. And I'm going to make these the same in all three cases. I am going to, for example, make the header width colon 80%. So that will make the amount of horizontal space that it takes up less than the entire width of the browser, leaving 20% as the Chrome area to the left and the right. Okay, now let's just go ahead and set the background color to black, and then the foreground color for all the text inside of it I'm going to set to white. Now notice in these two cases I was able to use named colors instead of hexadecimal colors. When we get to the part where we're talking about colors much later in this series, there's several different ways to define colors. These are just two of the more popular ways to do it. So let's just look at what we've accomplished here so far. Refresh our web page. And you can see we definitely get this header section that's only 80% of the entire web page. The background is black. The channel 9 and the HTML5 and CSS3 fundamentals is in white text. That's great. However, it's not centered, and that's really what I want. So we're going to have to use this little trick. We're going to use margin-right auto and margin-left auto. And this is just one of many tricks that have been developed or have been realized over time to do things which would seem to be simple, however require a few extra steps in cascading style sheets. So here we have a centered area, and that's awesome. And I want to apply that same styling then to the section and then the footer as well. So let's copy most of this and just paste it in both sections. However, in the section, I want to leave the color alone and set the background color to white. And save this, and now let's refresh. All right, so in a very short period of time, we've gotten a pretty nice little layout here. Great. So now we have some things like spacing. We have margin and padding issues, and so let's go ahead and spend some time figuring out what we can do here to clean up some of these sorts of things. First thing I want to do in the header was to add some padding around the inside of the header area, because all that text was butted up too close to the edges here, and that makes me a little uncomfortable. So that gives us a little more spacing. However, for my taste, a little bit too much spacing. So we may come back and modify some parts of this. Also, I don't like the fact that the text here in our paragraphs are butted up right against the side. So what I'll do is for every paragraph, I'm going to set its padding, or I think probably let's try margin instead. I think that's what I want. 10 pixels. Okay, so you can see we get 10 pixels, a small amount of padding, or rather margin area, between the text and the side here. Great. Furthermore, since we're working with that section, I want to place a border, and I'm going to define it longhand, so I'm going to set the border color to black, the border style to solid, and the border width to 5 pixels. And now we get this nice thick border all the way around. Awesome. The next thing I want to do is focus on the H1s and the H2s and the H3s below. There's not a lot of differentiation between them, and so I'm going to set the default styles for each of those. Furthermore, this H1 doesn't look like this H1, so I want to standardize those sizes. So to do that, here I'm going to go arbitrarily here and just type in an H1, an H2, and an H3. And for the H1, I'm going to set its font size to 2EM, which means 200% of the default font size for the web browser. I'll set the font size to 1.6 for the H2, and then the font size to 1.3 for the H3. So this basically says 60% larger than your normal font size and 30% larger than the normal font size that's used in the rest of the document. Okay, so let's go ahead and refresh and see what that does for us. All right, so now this definitely makes this much larger, and it makes the H2s considerably smaller and the H3s smaller yet. Great. Furthermore, if I look at this document, in both cases, I don't like how much vertical spacing there is between the H1 and what's below it and above it, so I'm going to modify that as well. In fact, I'm going to reset it, both the margin and the padding, to 0. And then I'm going to reset specifically the padding top to 10 pixels. So let's see what this does for us. Okay. Next up, let's deal with this H group, including the H1 and the H2. And what we're going to do is treat this whole area inside here as 100%. And so we're going to commit 70% of the space inside of here to this header group, and then 30% of the space to this group. Furthermore, we're going to move that all the way over here to the right-hand side. And so let's go ahead and work on that. So here we go, H group. And we're going to set the H group to a width of 70% of its parent. And then we'll float that to the left. Then we'll take the nav section, and we're going to set its width to 30%, and we're going to float that to the right. Let's see what that does. All right, so this looks very odd right now because we haven't finished quite yet. We have an issue that since we're using floated areas, our header just doesn't know enough about what's inside of it to render it correctly. So what we're going to have to do is do a little trick here with this header section. And I'm going to add an overflow of hidden and see what if that helps the situation out a little bit. All right, and it does. Great. Let's go ahead and work on this nav section still. We're still not quite done with that. So let's go nav li, which means any child list item of the nav area. I'm going to float those left. Each list item will be floated left. And then for the nav unordered list tag, let's go ahead and set its list style type to none. That should get rid of the bullets to the left-hand side of each of the list items. So now let's refresh. All right, almost done here. Not enough space. Let's put a little margin to the right-hand side of each of these items. So let's go margin, right, 5 pixels. And let's refresh. And that looks a lot better. Great. All right, I'm still not really satisfied with this section. It just doesn't look good. So what I'm going to do is style just the H1 and the H2 that are inside of the H group. I'm going to try and remove some of the dead space, make it kind of collapse up against itself. And I'm going to change the way that this is rendered to make it all caps. It'll be a small version of caps. So to do that, let's go to the H group, and right under that I'm going to go H group H1. So any H1 contained inside of an H group. And let's set the padding top. Let's just zero that out and see if that helps. And then I'm going to also set the line height to 1 EM. So that should reduce the overall line height consumed by that header 1. So hopefully that'll pull everything up together vertically. Furthermore, I'm going to go H group H2, and we'll do something neat here. Text transform, spell it right here, transform. And we're going to put uppercase. Cool. And then we'll go font size 1.2 EM, so 20% larger than a normal font. And I'm going to go ahead and set its line height to 1 EM to reduce the amount of space it takes up vertically. And that should be all I need to do. Let's see what that gets us here. So you notice the workflow. I make a small change, I test it, make a small change, test it. All right, so I like that it's kind of pulled itself up a little bit more. Let me try one more thing on this H2. No, I think that's good. We'll leave it at that for now. That'll be good. One thing I'm not satisfied, however, is the amount of space that the header takes up relative to the amount of space that the section takes up. And I think there's a number of different ways to correct this, but if I were to add a padding around all sides, it would push everything out 5 pixels in every direction, and I think that'll be enough space to rectify this problem. So let's go back up to, let's find the section, and then I'm gonna just padding 5 pixels, and by setting one setting, it'll set it to the top, right, bottom, and left all at one time. I could specify individual values for each, but not gonna do it here. And you can see that that works. Everything lines up really nicely now. Great, getting close. Hey, while we're here, let's go ahead and take care of this image. I'd like to push the images to the right-hand side. I'd like the text to flow around them. I would like also to have a drop shadow. So to make that happen, let's go ahead and right underneath the paragraph tag, I'm gonna do an image. And inside of the image, I'm going to set the float equal to the right. So I'm going to make it butt up against the right-hand side instead of the left-hand side. Let me set a margin. And I'm going to specify each side individually, starting at top. And think about a clock. It starts at midnight and works its way around. So the top value, I'll have no margin. To the right-hand side, no margin. To the bottom, I want to put 10 pixels between the image and any text that might try to butt up to the bottom of that image. And then also the same to the left-hand side. So let's see how that works. All right, so that works, and you can see we get some spacing here and some spacing here of at least 10 pixels. All right, so that's good. Now let's work on that drop shadow behind it. And to create that, I'm going to just go box shadow, and this is kind of a convoluted set of values, but they have to do with offsets, the amount of how precise or how blurry the drop shadow is, and so on. And then this would be the color of the drop shadow, a light gray color. All right, so let's take a look at what that produces for us. All right, so a nice subtle drop shadow, which makes it pop off the page just a little bit. Very nice. All right, so let's move all the way down to the footer and finish that up. I don't like how wimpy the footer is. I'd like it to have a much more pronounced height, but the content inside of it at this point isn't going to really take up that much space. So what I'll do is find the footer, and I'm going to set the height to 50 pixels. That should make it a little thicker and bulkier. All right, that's nice. Still have some issues with not quite coming out to the full width that we need to match everything else that we've done. And so let me add a padding like we did above, and I think 10 pixels should do it. So let's go padding, and to get 10 pixels around every side, you just have to type it in one time. Save that, and now refresh one more time, and now it looks great. And there's probably more I could do to pull this section up more to the upper right-hand corner. Doing so would probably affect how it works here as well, but I'm going to leave that alone. The final thing that I'm going to do is deal with this little aside area. If you recall, we're going to give it a smaller font. We're going to make it smaller than the rest of the text. We're going to give it a bright green background and then a border with rounded corners. So that should be exciting. Let's go ahead right before the footer here and aside. And so I'm going to make this 80% of its parent, which will be the article, which would be the section. We're going to use that trick where we center it. So margin right auto, margin left auto. And we'll make the, we'll set the font size a little bit smaller. So we'll use 0.8 EM. Okay, so let's see what we get so far. Well, actually, let's do one or two more things and then let's take a look at it. Look at the background. And I happen to have a bright green background color here in hexadecimal. So you can do hexes in capitals or lowercase, doesn't matter. So EEFF99. Save that. Now let's see what we get. Go all the way to the bottom. Okay, so we're off to a good start. We need some padding, and then we obviously need that border with the rounded corners. So let's add padding to all sides, 20 pixels. And then we're going to set a border. And I'm just going to use some shorthand here. Instead of using each of the individual border properties like we did here, we can use a shortcut and just do 1 pixel solid and then give it a color, 696. And that would imply a second set of 696. But we'll just use a shortened form, in this case, of the hexadecimal color, the dark green color. All right, so let's look at that. Awesome. One last thing, we need that rounded corner. So to get that, we're going to use border-radius and set that to 20 pixels. If I wanted a smaller border radius, a tighter radius, I can make this like 10. If I wanted it larger, I can make it 50 or something very pronounced. Also make it almost look like a pill shape. So now we get the rounded corners. Awesome. And as I just comb through it here one last time, this looks about like what I had envisioned in my mind. And you could continue tweaking for days and days. It's not the best looking web page I've ever seen, but it's certainly not the worst out there on the internet. So all good for at least one video. It served its purpose. It was a brief whirlwind introduction to cascading style sheets. I'm sure you have tons of questions. I used a dizzying number of CSS properties, and I didn't try to explain what all of the special characters like PX and EM and this explain the hexadecimal version of a color and things of that nature. All of that will be explained in due time when we get to those parts of the series. So let's go ahead and push forward into the next lesson so we can get started talking about HTML5. See you in the next video. Thank you. Thank you.